Well, good evening, everyone. A warm word of welcome once again to the house of the Lord this evening. It's good to see each and every one that is gathered in, and we do earnestly pray that the Lord will once again meet with us and will bless us as we're gathered to his house this evening. And those that are online as well, we do welcome you in the Saviour's name. We pray that the Lord will even bless you and encourage you through his word this evening. Let me just go through the announcements once again. I do remind you that this Wednesday evening, we are endeavouring to have our calendar drop around the area. We do invite you and encourage you, if you can come and help us with it, to come on Wednesday night here to the church at 7 p.m. as we want to go around the two villages and distribute the calendars for 2022. And then there'll be the season of prayer here in the church from 8 until 9 p.m. There'll be no live broadcast on Wednesday night. We'll just be a season of prayer together here in the house of God. But if you can come and help us with the distribution of the calendars beforehand, a bit of exercise in after all of the turkey and all of the pudding that we've been enjoying, and then if we can even have that time of prayer and that final prayer meeting evening of the year to lift up our Ebenezers unto the Lord and even to pray unto the Lord for the new year, we do encourage you to make that effort to be here on Wednesday evening. Then the services next Sunday, we do remind you there's still no Sunday school for just one more week with the term holidays that there is at this time. But the services is normal, 11:30 and 7 p.m. And we do invite and encourage you to be here in your place even next Sunday. And next Sunday morning we'll be bringing the motto text for 2022. And then immediately after the morning service, there will be the communion table for those that are saved and going on with the Lord. And then in the evening time at 7 p.m. we're having our annual praise service. We pushed it back by a week. Usually it's the last Sunday night in the year, but we felt just with it being Boxing Night, and we'd push it back to the first Sunday in the new year. So we're looking forward to that as well. There'll be the various reports of the works, and also then we'll be bringing a message in relation to that. And can we mention, we omitted to this morning, but one of the dates for the diary, we always seek to start off the year with times of prayer. And if you remember last week, we sought to have at the whole month of January the special seasons every Sunday night and to extend our prayer meetings. And as a session, we want to do that again this year. Last year, we got one Sunday and then we were closed down for the remainder of January. Hopefully, God willing, we'll be able to stay open this January. And so we want to have special seasons of prayer every Sunday night from 6 p.m. until 7 throughout the month of January. And let me encourage you to make that effort, even to come for that extra season of prayer every Sunday evening in the month of January, and to even just cry unto the Lord and to even look to the Lord for the blessing of God to be upon us in the new year, that we will see even God's hand being made bare in this area and in this community. And so we do lay that before you, and we do encourage you, if you can, to be coming to those seasons of prayer week by week and coming to the house of God even as well. Now we're going to sing one hymn together at this stage, and then we'll have some carols in just a little while, but we'll start with the hymn 77. The hymn 77, you'll find it on page 206. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. The hymn 77, will stand as we sing, please.
Repeat this sounding joy, repeat.
because we're so conscious of the need of the Lord's presence and the Lord's hand to be upon us. Maybe even be praying to that end this evening, that God will come. Our Father and our God in heaven, we do rejoice this night in the coming of our Saviour Jesus Christ. We do thank and praise Thee, O God, this night that we have that joy in our hearts, that the Son of God, He came down into this sin-cursed world. We thank and praise Thee this night, O God, for the coming of Jesus Christ. We come to Thee rejoicing this night in that life, O God, upon this earth that Christ lived, that perfect life. We do rejoice, O God, in that death upon the cross, that perfect death. We thank and praise Thee, O God, even now, that our Saviour is in glory on our behalf, pleading and presenting His merits and His blood as that perfect, even speaking voice unto God. Lord, we do come to Thee rejoicing. We're so thankful to be found and to have this opportunity to come afresh to Thy house. We're so thankful, O God, to be here. Lord, to be found even here in the house of God, in the presence of Almighty God afresh in the Lord's Day evening. Lord, we do pray that Thou wilt be near to us and that Thou wilt bless us. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy hand of mercy upon us throughout this day. We thank Thee for the goodness and the mercy of Almighty God that has followed us another day. And we can testify afresh, great is Thy faithfulness. And Lord, we lift up our Ebenezers unto Thee. Lord, we do rejoice in Thee and who Thou art. Lord, we come to Thee even and we lay this meeting before Thee this night. We pray, O God, that from start to finish that Thou wilt own and bless this meeting. From start to finish, O God, that we will know the protection of the blood around about us. We will know the power of the Holy Spirit upon us. We will know, O God, the working of the Spirit in hearts this night. Even now, O God, each and every one that is here and each and every one that is listening online, Father, we pray that Thou wilt prepare hearts, that Thou wilt work within us, that Thou, O God, wilt settle us, that Thou, O God, wilt settle minds, that Thou, O God, wilt give us that hunger and thirst after righteousness, that we will have that desire to hear God speak to us, that we will have that cry even as Samuel, as he lifted up his voice there after hearing the voice of God calling his name. He simply said, "Speak, for Thy servant heareth." Lord, may that be the realization of every heart this night, that we have that desire for God to speak to us, that we have that desire to hear the voice and to hear the word of God being brought afresh to our hearts this night. Remember each one that is here. O God, search out hearts. Search out, O God, and see if there be any wicked way. Lord, cleanse and work and revive and freshen even by Thy Spirit. Lord, remember as well those that are online. Thou knowest, O God, each and every one that is tuned in, and Thou knowest where they are. Thou knowest, O God, who they are. Lord, Thou knowest the need of every heart. Lord, come, we pray Thee in these days and minister to hearts. Encourage Thy people. Encourage, O God, Thy servants who are working for Thee. Encourage, O God, the missionaries that are around this world and the ministers in the gospel. Encourage the students. Encourage, O God, every session. Encourage every member of presbytery. Encourage every congregation and every member. Encourage every child of God. Help us to lift up our eyes onto the hills. Help us, O God, to turn to Thee in the times of trouble and the times of trial. Help us, O God, to turn our eyes upon Jesus and to look full in His wonderful face. O Father, draw near to us this night. Bless us, O God, and encourage us. And speak to our hearts. And above all, glorify Thy Son. O that Christ's name will be glorified this night. O that man's name will fall to the dust, but that Christ will be high and lifted up. O Father, come, we pray Thee. Show us Christ in this meeting, we ask Thee. Bring our hearts and our minds afresh to our Saviour. Lord, may we be even as those disciples. Lord, and may we be even as those soldiers as they sat around the cross. They looked upon Christ. Lord, may that be the realization of each one tonight, just sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing His word. O come and minister to our hearts. And bless us, we pray Thee. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to sing some carols together this evening. And if you turn to the carol section beginning at the hymn 75, what we'll do is we'll take a couple of favourites. And we'll take a few favourites from around the congregation. And we'll just sing a couple of verses from each at this time. And then we'll move on after that. But perhaps just whilst you are thinking of one, we'll just sing the opening verse of 75. And don't worry if we sang the carol that you like best. Maybe we sang it already tonight or we sang it this morning. You call it out again, because we're probably not going to sing them to next Christmas anyway. So there'll be a good gap before we get back to them in the hymn book. So we'll start just with the opening verse of 75, remaining in our seats, and then we'll take some favourites after that.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky, he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
What about a favorite from this side, over to my right? 77. Any particular verses you like? Not really. We'll sing then the verse 1 and the verse 4. Didn't you say 77?
Sorry.
Aye, 77. My musical ability is not good, but when I heard the tune, I was like, I don't think that's joy to the world. 77, verse 1 and 4.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing.
Over to my left. The shy side. 84. Thank you. Any particular verses? No. What about the verse 1 and the verse 3 of 84?
Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came, born in a manger to sorrow and shame. Oh, it was wonderful, blessed be His name, seeking for me, for me. Seeking for me, for me. Seeking for me, for me. Oh, it was wonderful, bless me His name, singing for me, for me. Jesus, my Savior, the same as of old, when I was wandering afar from the fold, gently and long did He plead with my soul, calling for me, for me. Calling for me, for me. Calling for me, for me. Gently and long did He plead with my soul. Calling for me, for me.
What about from the balcony? Any favourites up on the balcony? 85. Any particular verses?
I like verse 5.
You like verse 5, so as long as verse 5's in it. What about verse 1 and verse 5 then?
and my heart shall rejoice for Jesus when my home is the cause for me.
I don't know if I've ever sang that one before, but the lovely words in it. Well, let's pick one more, if there's one more favourite from anyone.
88.
Any particular verses?
Yes, 1 and 6.
1 and 6. Okay, thank you. Number 88, verses 1 and 6. Perhaps we'll stand just for a word of prayer to change our position, and then we'll come to God's word this evening. Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee. We thank Thee that we can sing about the glorious truth of the coming of Jesus Christ. We thank and praise Thee for that surety and that blessed assurance that we have that it is completely true, without a shadow of a doubt, that the Son of God came down into this world. That He took our humanity and He took it into that perfect union with His deity. And we thank Thee for that state of humiliation into which Christ was born. That He was born and laid in that manger. That He was made under the law. That He underwent the miseries of this life. And then even as we've just sang in that final verse, He went to the cross and He shed His precious blood for us. Lord, even now as we come to Thy word, we pray that Thou wilt bless it to our hearts. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt speak to us afresh. That Thou wilt work, O God, within each and every one of us. Lord, that Thou wilt strive with those that are outside of Christ. That Thou wilt stir their hearts. And, O God, may they realize, even at this time of year, that the greatest gift that is there is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Lord, bless us this night, we pray Thee. And fill us with Thy Spirit even as we preach. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're opening our Bibles this evening in the book of Galatians. In the book of Galatians in the chapter 4. The book of Galatians in the chapter 4. I want to read the opening 10 verses of the chapter together. Mentioned this morning that our title for this evening is the most wonderful time of the year. And perhaps as we go down through these verses, you'll be able to spy out which of the verses in the opening 10 that we want to spend our time upon. But Galatians chapter 4, the verse 1. The word of God says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. And even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and the beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. It is the verse 4 I want to leave with you this evening. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. The most wonderful time of the year. Whenever you hear that title, you may recognize the name and the title of a popular Christmas song within the world today. Maybe it's one that you've heard as you've went in the shops or even on the radio at times. As it come up to Christmas, you hear this song that was written in the secular world about the most wonderful time of the year. And that particular song, it seeks to highlight their view, the writer's view of that song, that Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. But whenever you look into the lyrics of it, and you're seeking to go through the lyrics, as it were, to see, well, what is your evidence? What is your reasoning as to why you have chosen Christmas to be this special and to be the most wonderful time in the year? Whenever you look into the lyrics, it speaks of children ringing bells. It speaks of times of parties, getting together with friends, with family, carols singing mistletoe, and even in toasting of marshmallows. But nowhere in that song does it mention the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Nowhere in that song, even though they claim to, this is the most wonderful time of the year, and yet there is not one mention of the coming of Christ. There's not one mention of a Savior coming into the world. So how can they claim that this is the most wonderful time of the year if they do not back it up by saying it's because of Christ? How can they claim, oh, the most wonderful time is simply just having friends and family or having a time of toasting marshmallows or singing carols without ever getting to Christ? The coming of Jesus Christ is still to this very moment in time the most wonderful time that this world has ever seen. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is the most wonderful time that has ever been in history. It is the most miraculous time of any year, of any month, of any week, of any day. It is a time which causes great joy in our hearts. It is a time which thrills our hearts. It is a time, yes, surrounded by great mystery, surrounded by great wonder, surrounded by great miraculous activity within the Godhead and within even heaven. But yet, what a wonderful time that thrills us and rejoices even within us. That we think that the Son of God, and we look back and we remember and we rejoice, the Son of God came down into this world. As I said, it is a miraculous time. There's so much that we do not understand. So much we'll never understand. And even Paul writing to Timothy, he summed it up without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh and justified in the Spirit. John 1 and verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Tonight I just want to spend the moments that we have left together just to consider this wonderful verse in the book of Galatians in the chapter 4, the verse 4. This truth of Jesus Christ coming into the world. There are three things I want to leave with you in relation to this verse, in relation to this wonderful time. Firstly, I want you to consider the timing of Christ's coming. The timing of Christ's coming. The verse 4, it begins with those words, but when the fullness of time was come. There was a very specific and there was a very set time when God entered into time itself. The God of eternity entered into the earthly realm. It's always wonderful to remember this, and it's always wonderful even to ponder upon it. The God of all knowledge, the God of all wisdom and the God of all understanding, he knew the exact time to come into the world. He knew the exact moment of when the Son of God should be born into this world. And you think of it. We mentioned it in passing this morning. How many there were that were waiting and longing for the Messiah to come. During those 400 years of silence, how many there were that were praying and praying that the Lord, the Messiah, would come. We mentioned it this morning whenever Anna first set her eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ as that babe, and then she went round and she told everyone in the temple, those that were looking for the redemption. We mention it as well in Zacharias when he was in the temple and all of the people that were standing outside praying. There was much desire, there was much longing for, there was much prayer. Even after all of those years of silence, they were longing for and looking for the time. That wonderful time when the Messiah would come. I've no doubt, as it is in our day in relation to the second coming, there were those there at the time of the first coming, and they studied the Old Testament scriptures. And they looked through the various Psalms and the various prophecies, and then they looked at what was happening in their world, in their day, and they were saying, well, certainly and surely these things are going to come apart, or come about even soon. Certainly what is going on in the world as the Roman Empire rose up, and all of the different changes that there was, surely then the Messiah is going to be coming soon. Maybe there were even occasions whenever individuals sought to put a date on it. Maybe there were even occasions whenever there were prophets that came up and they said, well, surely whenever we see all that's happening in the world and according to the Old Testament scriptures, surely the Messiah is going to come before a certain date. It may have happened. But whenever we read Galatians 4 in the verse 4, it tells us when the fullness of time was come. You see, Christ came at the right time. He wasn't late. He wasn't early. He came in the fullness of time. He came in His time. You know, it struck me whenever I was considering and meditating upon this in the study, even as one of the commentators sought to bring it to light, what was the world like before Christ came? What was the state of the world like? What were things in terms of the known world at that time? What was society like before Christ entered into this world? Well, historians, if you dig into the history side of things, it will tell you that the old religions were dying. Old philosophies were empty and powerless to change any man's life. On top of that, then, strange new religions were coming in. Some were coming in from the east. As the Roman Empire spread and it spread past, as it were, Italy and took over all of Europe at that time and then spread further into these, more and more of these new religions were coming and breeding, as it were, their way back across Europe. There was religious bankruptcy. There was spiritual hunger everywhere. God was preparing the world for the coming of His Son. You see, it wasn't the case that the events of the world dictated the timing of the first advent. It wasn't the case that the Lord looked down and He saw how dark and how evil the world was becoming and how religiously bankrupt and how spiritually bankrupt man was. And God said to His Son, right, you need to go earlier than what we had planned because of the state of the world. That's not the case. Rather, God in His providence, in accordance with His divine will, had prepared the world for the coming of His Son. So that whenever Christ came, He came in the fullness of time. Now that applies to the second coming also. You look at what is going on in the world in these days, in these years. You look at the changes that there has been right across the world. And I say right across the world because if we simply look at Northern Ireland and we think, well, what is happening in Northern Ireland, then surely that means Christ is coming. But of course, the whole world will see Christ return. And there must be certain things will happen right across the world, not just in Northern Ireland, before the Lord's return. But you look at the changes that there has been right across the world in terms of morals. You look at the change in morality, you look at the change in spirituality, you look at the changes economically, you look at the changes societally and socially. Surely we can see preparation is being made. God is allowing certain things to come to pass. He is raising up governments and taking away governments. He is raising up kings and emperors and taking away kings and emperors, all in accordance with his will. Why? The world is being prepared for the coming of Christ. God's time is always perfect. God's time is always planned. He came in the fullness of time. Just as it was prophesied by the psalmist, Psalm 102, the verse 13, "Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favour her, yea, the set time is come." God had his time. That covenant of grace between the Father and the Son, that Christ would come down into this world, that time was set. And every aspect and every part of that covenant, that promise, that agreement between the Father and the Son, all of it was set, including the time of his coming. The timing of Christ's coming. But then secondly, I want you to see the theology in Christ's coming. The theology in Christ's coming. The second part of the verse, it says, "God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." Now, this entire epistle of Galatians was penned by Paul under inspiration to deal with the very particular and the very grievous issue which had come into the church in Galatia. It was an issue that we looked at whenever we were making our way through the book of Acts in Acts 15. And how at that time there were those that came into the church in Galatia and stirred up a great controversy. And it would lead to a very major presbytery meeting and deliberation being held in Jerusalem. The Judaizers had brought in legalism into the church. Acts 15, the verse 1. It says, "Certain men which came down from Judea taught and the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." But of course, that's not what the scriptures teach. And that's not what Paul states here. For very clearly, even as he comes into this particular section of the book of Galatians, he presents to them that salvation is by God, salvation is by Christ, and by Christ alone. What you have whenever you come to this very particular verse, verse 4, you have the theology, you have the dual nature of Jesus Christ. He is the God-man. He was God. It tells us God sent forth his Son. That particular phrase, it ties then to the words of Christ in John 16 in the verse 28. He says, "I came forth from the Father and am come into the world." You see, we must always remember this and never ever seek to forget it or never seek to take our minds away from it. He was God before he ever became man. He existed long before his incarnation. He existed from all eternity past. There was never an occasion whenever it was only the Father. There was never an occasion whenever there was only one person in the Godhead. There has always been the three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He was the eternal Son of God. Very easy way of understanding this, if you believe the Father is eternal, then you must believe the Son is eternal. Because if there's no Son, then you can't have a Father. No man can stand up and say, "I am a Father," if he does not have the chance or the possibility of turning and saying, "Well, there is my children, there is my sons. I only became a father whenever my firstborn was born. Before that, I was never a father." And if we believe that God the Father was always a father, then he must always have had God the Son. There was never a time whenever the Father existed without the Son. He's the only begotten of the Father. But he's also now become a man. We see it there in the verse 4. "God sent forth his Son, made of a woman." You see, that proves his humanity. Also proves the uniqueness and the difference between his incarnation and those theophanies or those Christophanies in the Old Testament scriptures. You think of those occasions whenever Christ appeared in the Old Testament scriptures, whether it be whenever he appeared as a captain of the host to Joshua, outside of the city of Jericho when he came dressed in that appearance of the soldier, or whether it be whenever he appeared in the fiery furnace as that fourth man, along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or whether it be when he appeared to Abraham or he appeared to Manoah, whenever he told Manoah that Manoah would have a son who would become that Nazarite, become that judge and that saviour, even of the people of Israel at that time. Each one of those appearances of Christ, that's what it was. It was an appearance. He appeared out of nowhere. Yes, he took the appearance of a man, but he appeared out of nowhere. He was not made of a woman. He was not born of a woman and brought forth, delivered and grew up. Each one of those occasions was simply that. It was an appearance. But this occasion, the incarnation was unique because this was his taking of our humanity personally and permanently. Also proves the uniqueness, this one line and this one phrase in Galatians 4, the uniqueness of his birth, for it tells us he was made of a woman. There's no mention of a man. There's no mention of a father's involvement. Matthew 1, verse 20, it says, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. You think of the genealogies that are all recorded for us. You think even of Matthew 1, the genealogy that is there in relation to Christ. It's a father who begets a son. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judah and his brethren. But when you come to Christ, Paul makes it clear he is made of a woman. God sent forth his son, the deity, made of a woman, the humanity. No mention of an earthly father. Our Savior was virgin born. Not conceived by ordinary conception. Sin did not pass from the father on to the children or on to the son. Rather, it tells us, Hebrews 7:26, that Christ is such an high priest, he became us. But notice the next words, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And there you have the uniqueness, and there you have the glorious and yea, the mysterious birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No other can claim to have the birth that Christ had into this world. No other can claim to ever have the conception that Christ had into this world. Christ came forth from God, sent forth from God, made of a woman, made under the law. That's something tonight that we rejoice in. That's something tonight that we wonder at. That's something tonight that's a blessing even to each and to every one that is saved. The timing of his coming, the theology in his coming, but then the verse 4 and even into the verse 5, the task in Christ's coming. The task in Christ's coming says that God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The lawgiver became the lawkeeper. This, of course, was all part of the great covenant of grace between the Father and the Son. That agreement that Christ would willingly, Christ willingly entered into with his Father. That not only would he redeem his people, but first of all, he would represent them. That he would be our representative before God. He would be the one that would come to represent us upon earth. You see, that was meant to be Adam. Adam was given that responsibility. You are the representative for all mankind. You are the first. And you will stand forth and you will even be put under this period of probation. You will show forth and even seek to obey my law. And he failed. We all sinned in him. We all fell in him. And so the first part of the coming of Christ, even as it tells us there, he was made under the law. had to live a life in perfect obedience in order that he might fulfill the law. You study the life of Christ. You go through the various aspects from his birth into his earthly life upon this earth, into his ministry, right up until his death. You have the full, perfect obedience to every part of the law of God. He obeyed the moral law. He obeyed the ceremonial law. He even obeyed the judicial law as it was applied under the authority of the Roman Empire. You think of that occasion whenever they came to him. And his response was, render unto Caesar's the things that are Caesar's. He was obedient. He paid his taxes. He sent the disciple down. Go and cast the hook into the sea. You'll pull out the fish. Open up the mouth of the fish. There's the coin. Go and pay the taxes with it. And all of that obedience, all of that perfect obedience to the law meant that then he could become that great sacrifice upon the cross. He was the spotless Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. We see that in the verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Redemption, of course, is a buying back. It's not purchasing. Not setting free by paying the price. Galatians 3 in the verse 13. It says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth upon a tree. This is why Christ came. This is why Christ came into this world. This is why the coming of Christ is the most wonderful time of the year. Whether his first coming was in December or not, we don't know. Scripture doesn't say. There are many that say that it wasn't December. There are some that say it was. Regardless of what time of the year, it was the most wonderful time. It was the time when all of the angels left the splendors of glory and heralded forth his birth. The time when the wise men left their own country and travelled so far to see the king. The time whenever Anna and Simeon's prayers were answered. The time whenever those that sought and looked for the redemption could rejoice that the Saviour had come. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. It came without purpose. It came without promise to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You know, it's wonderful tonight, even at this time of the year. And even tonight, we can simply rejoice. What a Savior we have. What a majesty we adore and we serve. What a Savior, what a Shepherd, what a Friend, what a hope. What a hope we have tonight. But I wonder as we close, what does Christ mean to you? I heard it prayed earlier in the prayer time that Christ is our all. It's the best way of summing it up. Is he your all tonight? Is he your everything? Is he your Savior? Your Lord? Your Master? Your Redeemer? Your elder brother? Your friend? Is he your King? Or is he just someone that you've heard about? You see, if he's not your all tonight, then he's nothing to you at all. And if you're tonight are saying before God, Christ, I don't know him. He doesn't mean anything to me. Then my friend, Let me exhort you and encourage you. Come to him tonight and know him. Come to him tonight and meet him. Come to him tonight and even bow the knee to him and confess him as Lord. There's only one way of salvation. That's why Christ came. There's only one sacrifice was accepted. That's why Christ came. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Does he know you? Let's have a word of prayer as we close this evening. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank thee, Lord, for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. We thank and praise thee for this. We thank and praise thee, O God, that he is the God-man. We thank and praise thee this night for that life of perfection. We thank and praise thee this night, O God, that he was that lamb who was spotless, that lamb without blemish, that lamb who could take our sin upon his body, that lamb who could bear away our sin even from us this night. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt bless thy word to our hearts. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt continue to speak on the hearts. Lord, that thou wilt work within, O God, and by thy Spirit that thou wilt strive. Lord, remember each one in these days. Take us to our homes in safety. Bless us, we pray thee. We think of the work even this week. We pray for the calendar drop on Wednesday evening. We pray, O God, as well for the prayer meeting, that time of prayer on Wednesday evening. Lord, bring out thy people. Give us that desire even to lift up our voices unto thee. Lord, be near to us in these days, we pray thee, and watch over us. Keep thy hand upon us. In Jesus' name. Amen.